Blog Talk Radio.
Yourself loose. Who told you you can't be free?
He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah to God. Good evening, champions and listeners on NCI Blog Talk Radio. Glory be to God. Anxious, excited to be back with you once again. I'm your host, Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries. Amen. 1921 Darby Town Road in Henrico, Virginia. To God be the glory. So grateful that you're back again tonight. Amen. Amen. We encourage you to come listen to MCI Blog Talk Radio. We got your fix at 6 on Monday. Got me, glory be to God, undisputedly teaching truth. Praise God. We have the weekly word workout on Wednesday. Glory to God. We have the apostle coming Friday and Sunday morning worship here on MCI Blog Talk Radio. To God be the glory. We're not going to waste your time tonight. We're going to jump right into the word of God tonight. But what a powerful song. Shake yourself loose. It's time to be free. Glory be to God. We all, glory be to God, have that day of redemption. But before it comes, glory be to God, you ought to be enjoying your salvation. To God be the glory. You ought to be basking in joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. To God be the glory. The battle is to take your joy. If they take your joy, how about Cynthia? They'll take your strength. Shake yourself loose. Every problem, every situation, every circumstance that have you bound, it's time to be free. Amen. To God be the glory. You're going to find me tonight in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. Colossians, chapter 3. Trust that you have your pens, your notebooks, your devices. Amen. To God be the glory. You really need to magnify some of the notes and some of the blessings that God sends tonight. Amen. We're going to begin at the first verse. And Paul starts out with a question, and he makes it personal. The first two words of the chapter lets us get the spirit in which he is approaching this cluster of scripture. He says, if, that's a question. If, they say, is a big word. If ye, see, question, personal. If ye, he's talking about self-evaluation. He's talking about self-searching on the inward part. And he asked this question. He said, if ye then, past tense, been risen with Christ. If ye then, past tense, see, after it occurred, been risen with Christ. When most people read the scripture, they're thinking when they come to God. But can I help tonight by shedding light that just because you come to God and when you give your life to Christ, he will in no wise cast you out. You become part of the family. You get salvation. But you are not risen. And the content in which he asks, if you've been risen, that's talking about a paradigm shift in yourself, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. If there's been an elevation in your mind, an elevation in your heart, an elevation in your soul, he's talking to them. So in this particular verse, he's not talking to everybody. He's talking to those who have been risen with Christ. Well, somebody would say, well, if I got baptized, so didn't I rise with him? No, the Bible declares that if you've been buried with Christ, you'll be risen with Christ in baptism. Watch. And then we walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 10, 5:17, we become a new creation. But the risen that he's talking about is a determination, hallelujah, to get better day by day. He's talking about a determination to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God. He's talking about growing in your faith walk. He's talking about growing and determined to reach your goal. And for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So this is the question. I mean, this is the direction after the question. If you've been risen with Christ, seek. The Bible declares in Matthew that when we come to God, if we seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto you. He's not talking about cars, houses, and land. He's talking about everything you need in your search. So the Bible declares, seek and ye shall find. So he says, if you seek God and the righteousness of God, he's not saying you reach the righteousness of God or you got some high plateau in God. He's saying, glory to God, that if you seek first, if the first and foremost thing in your life, in your heart, in your mind is to seek God and his righteousness, he'll add all the other things needed, hallelujah, to find him. Amen, champions. Listen, he says, seek. Seek what? What are you seeking after salvation? Are you seeking to just be a member of a church? Are you seeking to be seen different by men? Are you seeking to just be religious? Well, those are not the things Paul encouraged us to seek. He says, seek those things. What things could he possibly be talking about? He says, seek those things that are above. Not the sky. Come out the clouds. He's not talking about the sky. Talking about the throne of God. He's talking about the third heaven. Glory to God. He's talking about where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's talking about where we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's saying, seek that place, glory to God, that where God intends for us to operate from. The Bible declares that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So that's what he's asking us to seek, is the God way of operating, the God way of loving, the God, the God way of walking. He's talking about seek those things that are above. Why? Where Christ sitteth. If we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, glory be to God. If we get in Christ and we seek the things that are above, come on somebody, then we take our rightful place here in the earth. It makes your walk a lot easier. It makes your walk a lot sweeter. If you do not seek the things that are above, and you're seeking earthly things, you're seeking worldly things, come on somebody. Everybody gets saved from something to something. So don't you examine yourself and beat yourself down with guilt because of where you're starting from. You just want to seek your rightful place in the kingdom so that you can be risen, risen in your soul. You can have a transformed mind. Glory to God. He said, but Christ is on the right hand of God. Somebody would say, well, I am seeking God. I'm doing the very best I can. But I'm having a problem living this Christian life. One may say, I have better joy in the world. I don't know who would say it, but some may say it. Some may say, I wish I never got saved. I don't know who in their right mind would say that. But I'm just talking about emotions of trials and tribulations. And when it's going through, what makes people throw in the towel, what makes people turn back, because they believe I'm seeking God and I'm not getting my prayers answered. I'm seeking God and I'm not getting blessed. I'm seeking God and things seem worse. So they would say, so how can I seek the things that are above where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, where I rightfully should be sitting in Christ? I want to help today by letting you understand, if you do not have your soul set. See, when he says seek, he in verse 2, he says set. Meaning that we can say that we're seeking, hallelujah. But if we don't set things in order, if we don't set to reach our goal, if we don't set to run the course, if we don't set ourselves to fight the good fight of faith, if we don't set ourselves to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if we don't set ourselves that the greater one on the inside operates, even in the valley, even in the wilderness, even in the trials, the persecution, the tribulation, if you set yourself, hallelujah, then the walk isn't as heavy. You begin to trust God. You begin to operate and walk by faith. You begin to mortify the deeds of your members. As you walk, it gets easier. But that's not saying you won't reach stumbling blocks. That don't mean you won't have seasons where you feel alone, where you feel like I'm not growing, where you feel like I can't fight this, I can't take this. Oh, that's all a part of growing. That's all a part of walking by faith. If you never have a situation that fears you, that you don't know the answer to, that you don't have the resources for, how can you know that God will do it? Hallelujah. So when you get to these things, the Bible declares that even in tribulations, we have patience. And our patience gives us the experience that we need. And the experience feeds your faith. And you be confident. That's what make it not be ashamed means. Making us not ashamed. You're confident. Yeah, I'm going through right now. This is not the end. It's not over. To God say it's over. You can't worry about people speaking your destiny. People speaking soulless prayers over your life. People not believing you are who you know you are. You have to walk by faith. And you got to hold on to your purpose. Without sin. The next verse after that, I'm going to get back to the teaching. God says, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace. He didn't say come boldly to speak in tongues. He didn't say come boldly to praise him. He didn't say come boldly to operate your gift. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? That you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So all we have to do is position ourselves in Christ. But this is how we seek the things that are above. He says, set your affection. That's your soul. The soul part of man is your intellect, the way you think, your emotions, which is your affections. See, your strength level, which is your will. He said, set them on things above. He said, turn your soul into an alarm clock. Somebody don't hear me yet. Put a fence and guard your heart. Guard your soul. Hallelujah. That's why he said, set your affections on things above. You're already seeking the things above, affections upon them. And when I say make them alarm clock, don't you know sometimes you may stay out a little late, or you may watch a television show and it keeps you up a little later, and you know you got to get up the next morning? You set that alarm clock, come on somebody, so that you don't miss that appointment. And no matter how tired you are, the alarm clock will give you the assistance that you need to know it's time to get up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know they put this little new thing on it called, it ain't that new, but a snooze button. That's grace. When you're just too tired, snooze a little bit. Listen to what I'm saying. If you set your soul like an alarm clock, being that we are not perfect people, we carry flesh, we have feelings, we have emotions, we have thoughts, we have memory. You need your affections set like an alarm clock. So whenever your mind, and y'all don't hear me yet, I said whenever your mind say, God ain't going to fix it, it's an alarm go off. It's, hallelujah. Whenever you say, I'm too tired, I give up, I quit, an alarm clock will go off in your soul. Hallelujah. Whenever you go to operate other than what the Holy Spirit is leading, something inside of you will go off. Mm-hmm. And that's the Holy Spirit, is your alarm clock. And you have to connect it to it so that whenever we begin to stray, hallelujah, whenever we begin to get weak, whenever we begin to make wrong decisions, get caught in the place where God wants us to come out of, that alarm clock will ring, hallelujah, inside of you. Do you know some alarm clocks are so annoying? Some of the rings are so annoying, you have to get up and hit the button saying you're up. Watch where I'm going, people of God. Even though you said it, you have a will in your soul. And not every time you're going to obey the alarm clock. Because when the clock go off, you either get up and go to work or you don't. You make the appointment or you don't. That's self-motivation. That's what Paul is talking about. If ye been risen, self-motivation. If you made up your mind, good God Almighty, that I'm going to do this thing, hallelujah, come what may. Hezekiah said, if I can't fly, then I'll run. If I can't run, then I'll walk. And if I can't walk, then I'll crawl. Huh? Come on, somebody. But I'll make it. He said, I'm going to make it. You got to set your affections. Hallelujah. You mean heaven all the way. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But watch this. The systems are the, when you say the God of this world, Satan is the God of this world, meaning he runs the system. Yes, the earth is the Lord. Yes, everything in it. Hallelujah. but Satan's kingdom is here on earth. This is not our home. So if you get caught up thinking that these earthly things mean something. No, I can put a list out there. What would prosperity, popularity, financially secure? Yes, we all want that. All of the above. But you have to be set in your soul that if you don't obtain any of them, hallelujah, keep God. If you lose everything you have, keep God. If loved ones walk out on you, keep God. Glory to God. People don't understand you, keep God. One thing I know about the Lord and Savior, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I once was young, hallelujah. And now I'm a little old, but I've never righteous forsaken. That's why he says, seek the kingdom and the righteousness. Because the righteous don't get forsaken. It might hurt you to do the righteous thing. It might hurt you to do the right thing. It might hurt you to turn the other cheek. Oh, glory to God. You may cry some nights because it hurts so bad because you love so much. Hallelujah. But that's kingdom living. Don't get caught up living this earthly life. For all that's in the world, the Bible says, is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are satanic tools that he used to get your attention. And once you're in the grip of the lust of your eye, wanting things, the lust of your flesh, pampering it, fulfilling it, doing things you know you shouldn't do. Hallelujah. And the pride of life. You know why he made that one last? Because your pride will keep you locked there. You're so high and mighty and proud. Glory to God. You won't let those lustful things go. Hallelujah. That draw you in. You'll fight. You'll rather fight than switch. But you should be fighting for God, not to switch. Amen. To God be the glory, champions. I love you tonight. He said, listen, let me tell you why you ought to be setting your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. He says, for ye are dead. If you have been risen, you are dead. The higher up you go, the more you die. Come on. Come on, somebody. The higher up in God, the higher up in spirit, the more flesh dies. The more fleshly desires die. The more fleshly thinking die. How about CA? The higher we go up. Can I just throw this in? I just hear this in the spirit. We quote a scripture. If Christ, if the word Christ be in us, if we abide in him and his word, then we can ask what we will, and it should be given unto us. And we thinking that they're saying that if we be faithful to God and stay close to God, we can ask for whatever we want. That's not Bible. That's not what he's saying in that scripture. What he's saying in that scripture is, if ye abide in me, Jesus, and my word abide in you, then you can ask what your will is. Know why? Because it's set on things above. If his word is in you, hallelujah, the more word in you, the more your will is going to change. You can't have God's word and you still asking for worldly things. Come on, somebody. You can have a lot of God's word and you still asking for things that's not in his will, because your will becomes his will. See, if ye abide in me, my word abide in you, then you can ask what ye will, and it shall be given unto you. because you're only going to ask what your will is, which is his will. Amen? I just wanted to put that one in while I parked for a second. He said, we are dead. And your life is hid. Life is hid. It's too many Christians with flesh on parade. We get a gift. We get a title. We get a reputation. We come on somebody. And now all of a sudden, even if we preach, teach, witness, we can no longer see Christ. We see the person. We get in pulpits and wear ungodly things while preaching the gospel. No. He said, ye are dead and your life is hid. Some people glorify themselves so much, you can't see God. The more they learn, the more high-minded they get. The more self-righteous they get. And God is saying, that's not my spirit. My spirit is humility, gentleness, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, forgiveness, kindness. Those are the things that are the spirit of God. We can't get his word and say that we're dedicated and we see more of us than him. Come on, somebody. Our life is hid. And if we're showing too much of us, the more of us we show, the less of Christ they see. Amen. Ouch and amen. We are hid with Christ in God. If we stay in Christ, our life is hid. Now we know, hallelujah, I'm just following the Spirit tonight. We know that Satan's job is to try to uncover us. Yes, the word of God said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And we all ought to try our best to let our light shine whenever possible. But I'm going to tell you, there's an adversary. There is an enemy of your soul. And the more you try to shine, y'all ain't talking to me, the more glory to God devoted you is, then the more he comes at you. The more he comes to try to destroy your word, destroy your name, destroy your character. Don't you remember what he did to Jesus? Had people calling him a wine bibbler. Say that he cast out devils from the prince of Beelzebub. That's the Lord of the flies. Low as you can go. Glory to God. They was ready to release somebody. And he put in their heart to say, give us Barabbas. A murderer. You see? So think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. Think it not strange when they lie on you. Think it's not strange when they destroy your name, when they destroy your character. It's because you're anointed. It's because you're determined. It's because you're seeking the things above. And Satan wants to distract you. He wants to destroy you. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. He want to destroy the joy. He want to destroy your faith. He want to turn you back. Glory to God. He want to make your life lonely and miserable. But the lonelier you get, the more time you have with God. Amen, somebody. You got to turn it back on him. He wants you to be seen instead of Christ. And when you're determined to be hidden in God, hallelujah, he tries to uncover you. Some people are still saying things about people from 40 years ago, spreading poison from 40 years ago. It's Satan. It's not God. Hallelujah. Don't you let nobody come to you as a false witness. They're from a whole nother state, and they're going to tell you about somebody that they didn't even know 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Come on, somebody. It's Satan trying to pull Rome out so they don't see Christ. But somebody say, I'm here. Come on. Your life is here, child of God. When you come to God, your old life is here. Everything you ever did, glory be to God. Everything you ever said. Come on, somebody. If you come to God in sincerity, when he accepts you, he throws those things into the sea and remember them no more. Satan and his demons go digging in there trying to find filth. Hallelujah. But you got to say, ain't nobody mad but the devil. And anybody mad got the devil in them. And you got to keep it moving in God. We're dead. Our life means nothing. It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about none of us. It's about God. Hallelujah. And our life is saved with Christ and God. There's a reward if we do that. There is a reward. There's a reward for letting Christ shine in you. There's a reward for letting God get the glory in your life. And there is a reward. Glory to God. The Bible declares in verse 4, we are dead. First 3 says we are dead. And our life is hid with Christ in God. But watch verse 4. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Come on, somebody. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Ah, can I take my time on that verse? We know he's coming back. Uh-huh. We know he's soon to return. Hallelujah. And we know when he returns, they that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we all that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when he returns. Yes. That's when he appears. Yes. But this is twofold, child of God. This is for us right now today. If you let your life be hid with Christ, it says when Christ, who is our life now, because you letting your life be hid, now Christ is your life now. Watch what happens when he appears. Well, when will he appear? Whenever you open your mouth, y'all don't hear me. Glory to God. Whenever you get on your knees and pray, hallelujah. Whenever you speak his word, glory to God. He will appear. And so when Christ appears, then shall we appear with him. My title for tonight, if it was one, is Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Because the only time you should be seen is when Christ appears. Then you shall appear with him. How many people want to appear with Christ? Halabashindia. You can appear in your church with Christ when he show up. Hallelujah. You can appear in the supermarket with Christ when he show up. Wherever the Spirit of God show up, you can appear. Just don't outshine God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In glory. Proper contents now. We got to keep it in the word because it's undisputed if it's in the word. Because we do know the Bible says God will share his glory with no man. You have to keep it in proper contents. They're talking about the authority and the position of God. Satan wanted to share the glory. You see what happened. Him and the one-third. So you got to keep God's word in proper context. Don't be a one-scripture person running around quoting. Hallelujah. He says, you will appear with me in glory. He's talking about the rapture when you get home, but I'm letting you know, glory to God, when the Spirit of God appears. Hallelujah. The glory appears. Somebody here, somebody got it. And you can appear in the glory and be used by God. If your faith take you there. If your faith take you there. If your affections is set. Your heart and mind is set on God and not yourself. Not our works. Hallelujah. But if we believe Christ for what he did. For the sacrifice he made. for the position he put us in. See, that's a whole another level of glory you can walk in. Most people can't walk in the glory. They're too busy examining their self and trying to have sanctification contests with people. Who lives the more holier? Who messed up? Who didn't mess up? Who's in the ditch right now? Who's in the valley right now? Who's in the wilderness? How about Shekinah? Do you know none of those things stop the glory? Huh? I said none of those things stop the glory. You just have to set your affection and stand on it. And when Christ appears, you can step into the glory unless there's still flesh on parade. Verse 5 is a nugget. It's the answer. He said, mortify, therefore, the deeds of your member. I got to take that one slow, child of God and champions. Do you know mortify? Mortify means to put to silence, to take away the strength of. You can never kill your flesh. Your flesh will be here till you transition into the presence of God. Absent in the body, the flesh is present with the Lord. But as long as you got flesh, you can't kill it. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He stood toe-to-toe against Satan, hallelujah, by the word of God. But when he came off that fast on the 40th day, the 41st day, his flesh let him know, I'm hungry. The Bible says afterward, he was in hunger. Your flesh don't die. It has to be mortified. That means take the strength of it away. If you set your affections, it helps take the strength of your weaknesses away. We all got them. Glory to God. Sometimes we don't have a weakness, but a situation will cause us to not walk in faith. Whatever it is, your mind, your heart, your flesh, you have to mortify it. You can't go around feeding your flesh. Ha! Glory to God. I'm not saying you can't make mistakes. I'm not saying that God won't teach you in situations. But in your heart, you have to say, I'm a mortify. Ha! That deed. Watch what he says here. Mortify, therefore, your members, the deeds of your members, which are upon the earth. And he gives us a list of the most powerful bondages that a man can get into. First one is fornication. And every time we hear that word, all we think is sexual sins. Fornication is way deeper than that. Fornication is having something in your heart. I'm talking layman's term now, so you can understand. It's cheating on God. Fornication is cheating on God. You can fornicate with your house. Ha! Glory to God. Somebody don't hear me yet. You can fornicate with your car, with your job. We have to check our affections. What means the most to you? Are you fornicating? Oh, I gotta say with your boyfriend or girlfriend, but I'm gonna hit that in a second. Are you fornicating with your bank account? Hallelujah. Do you believe, glory to God, that's who you are? Fornication is the act of making uncommitted love. And a lot of us love a lot of things way more than God. You're a fornicator. So he said, I'm not sleeping with nobody. You're still a fornicator. It may not be a sexual fornication, but you're a fornicator. And you definitely have to mortify fornication if it's a sexual fornication. Halabo Shindia, you have to get control of that demon. It's a tough spirit. Can I help us from Bible standpoint? Do you know that fornication was the first sin? Oh, okay. Oh, okay, that's too deep for some people. Okay. All right. That's too deep for some people. That's what Adam and Eve did. They committed fornication. And God came down and they hid themselves. And so fig leaves. I know, come on, y'all email me because a lot of y'all don't understand that. That's too deep. I shouldn't even put that one there. But I can show you in the Word. They were not consummated. They were not in unity with God. And they cheated on God. That sin, especially sexual fornication, the tree of, oh, I forget. Listen, that's a tough one. I'm going to leave that alone right now. I got to get out of that. I got to get out of that. I got babes on the line. I got strong meat on the line, champions on the line. That's for another time. Email me, text me, and I'll help you understand that a little more. But that's a tough thing. You got to deal with it. You cannot. Well, all sin is sin. Sin means to miss the mark. Can I help it so somebody don't think that I'm bashing certain types of sins and things like no, that's too low. The word sin comes from an English word of archery. You know, they bow and arrow, and they have the circle, the target, and you shoot the arrow. If you hit it right in the middle, that's a bullseye. If you hit some of the other lines, different points, the closer you get to the bullseye. But you still hit the target. The word sin originated from when you missed the whole thing. And if that arrow could fly for eternity, you will never hit the mark. So sin means to miss the mark. It's a none way more than the other. If you missed it, you missed it. And certain sins... All sin, if it was an arrow that could fly forever, it still missed the mark. And that's what sin is. It means to miss the mark. But certain sins, the Bible declares, is with the body, meaning that intensity of it and the bondage of it. It's more than jealousy. See? Jealousy is just in your heart or mind. Fornication, halabo shindia. Your flesh is getting bound more and more. The more you do it, the more you're bound by it. We're running out of time tonight. But you can look at them. Uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil conspicuous, covetousness, which is idolatry. A form of fornication. See? For which things sake the wrath of God come. Hallelujah. Not the blessings. The wrath of God come. And can I help us today? God is not trying to kill anybody that missed the mark. But when it says the wrath of God, they're trying to show us it's unpleasing to him. There's different levels of God's wrath. The Bible says that his anger will not always chide with man, for he knows that we are but flesh. So when you see the word wrath, don't think God is going to run around killing people. How about I see it? Don't you let nobody tell you God going to kill you. God don't kill. Satan kills, steal, and destroy. God's wrath come in different levels, and God's word is forever settled. So if his word established something and we cross it and it brings death, God didn't kill us. Hallelujah. God don't kill, but his word is forever settled. And if we cross his word and death comes, praise be to God, then we come into his judgment, whatever it may be. God's mercy are new every day. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve for what we do. And we all need the mercy of God. Not just forgiveness. We need mercy. Because some of us is dead wrong. Hallelujah. And know we're dead wrong. Some of us is committing transgression, a willful disobedience to God. But God's love, his nature, his mercy, come on, kept us so we don't let go. Amen? The Bible declares that in the woods, ye also walk sometimes when we lived in them. But if you've been risen, you don't live in them no more. I'm closing tonight. I don't know if you shouted tonight. I don't know how I hit your spirit tonight. How about Shindiaba? But I know how God is giving it to us tonight. In the woods, ye also walk sometime. Either aforetime, maybe sometime now. When you live in them. But now, he's saying, ye also should put off these things. Character, the wrong character, anger, wrath. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Stop holding the anger inside of you. It destroys the body. He says, wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Stop trying to make people scared of you. I'll do this. I'll do that to you. Stop it. Hallelujah. Put it off. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The malice, blasphemy, destroying people's character. 50 communications out of our mouth. Finally, he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with these deeds and have put on this new man that you rose to. It's renewed. You've been renewed. You think different. You feel different. You walk different. You talk different. Hallelujah. Renewed in knowledge. After the image of him that created him, where there's neither Greek, Jew, black, white, any other ethnicity, I'm sorry, y'all, I can't pronounce that right now. I'm in the spirit. Any other race, glory be to God, I'll laugh at them myself. Barbarians gets in bond or free. Listen to the end. But Christ is all. How many people know Christ is all? He's all you need. He's all you should be seeking. He's all you should be desiring. Christ is all. Christ is our all in all. He's your help in times of trouble. He make a way out of no way. He's all, glory be to God, we should have our heart and mind set on. Christ is all. And in us all. Amen. Glory be to God. Put on the bowels of mercy. Let God change us. Seek ye first the kingdom. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. God bless you tonight. Bishop Thurman A. Butler, I just pray that you got something out of the word tonight. Something that could encourage you along the way, something that can inform you along the way. We don't need another church service. We don't need another good sermon. We don't need to jump and shout. How about Shindia? We need to get in the word. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. Amen. God bless you. Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministry. 1921 Darby Town Road, Henrico, Virginia. Come on out, hallelujah, where the word of God and the truth of God is being taught. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed night. May Jesus smile upon you. Amen.